The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Miracles happen in your name.
As we lift a voice in praise.
As we lift a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just worship Him. Bless Him this morning. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just worship Him. Just bless Him this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it is a thing so wonderful, almost wonderful to be, that God's own Son will come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true. He chose a poor and humble ox and wept and toiled and mourned and died for love of those who loved Him not. It is a thing most wonderful, almost wonderful to be, that God's own Son will come from heaven and die to save a child like me. The waters of seed, when planted on waters, grows to be great. Yes, sing.
The waters of seed,
yes,
when planted on water, grows to be great. You can be anything you want.
Yes.
You can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The water is a sea, and when planted and watered, it grows to be great. And you can be anything you want. You can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. It's time to shine again. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. It's time to shine again. The word is the word. When planted and watered, it grows to be great. can be anything you want.
Yeah.
You can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. Woo! The world is a seed.
Yeah.
And when planted and watered, it grows to be great. You can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. In a world where they see, this is your season, it's time to shine again.
Your season. Hallelujah. It's your time. I said it's your season. It's seed time. Hallelujah. And your harvest time is close by. Glory to God. You know, once there is seed time, there must be harvest time. So once you sow, there must be reaping. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you this morning, Lord. We receive clarity from your word, mighty utterance, and we are changed and transformed. In Jesus' name. Do you want to shout a louder amen this morning?
Amen.
Can you make it louder?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Good morning. So welcome to the morning session, day two. Amen. The intensity is growing. Amen. So yesterday we began a teaching on seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And we took our, of course, that's not the anchor scripture, but where that phrase appeared in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, where the Bible makes it very clear that seed time and harvest will not cease. Seed time and harvest will not cease. And it talks about seed time and harvest. It talks about cold and heat. It talks about summer and winter. So it's talking about different seasons. And you know, one of the things this tells you is that in a man's life, there are times, there are seasons that he has to sow. Not all seasons are the same. There are sowing seasons. There are planting seasons. There are harvest seasons. I'm praying for you that you know your harvest season. You also know your planting season. Because as simple as this may come, you know, just like in agriculture today, right? There are times they will tell you, this is the time to plant maize. Or this is the time to plant yam. Are you getting the point? And if you get it mixed up, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. So there are seasons. Many of you are in your seasons where you have to be sowing certain seeds. And if you're not doing that at this time and at this season, you will struggle when the time comes. Because when others are reaping their own harvest, you will just be watching and then complaining and then possibly blaming God for being the architect of your problem. Yesterday, I showed us that if God wants to change a man, he doesn't necessarily give him a miracle. He gives him a seed. Are you getting the point? When God wants to change a man, he gives him a seed. And, you know, once he gives him that seed becomes the power that can change anything. Because, like, so is the, a seed carries the capacity to become great. A seed carries the capacity to generate a whole new plant. I guess what I'm talking about. And I showed you yesterday that God runs a principle of sowing and reaping on the earth. And this is not about what people have done, tried to use this to do with money and all of that. I'm just saying God runs a principle of sowing and reaping on the earth. Because when God wants to do anything, he starts with a seed. When he wanted to create the human race, he began with a seed. That seed was Adam. In fact, the seed he used to make this whole world was even his word. I get to the point. He just said, when God wanted to start the new creation, he began with a man. You know, I always say things to people. You would have thought that as powerful as God is, he could just do everything in one moment. But he doesn't operate like that. He begins with a seed. And then that seed begins to reproduce, begins to grow, begins to increase. Now, that is how he operates forever, even till today. Are you getting the point? And that's why if God wants to start anything big, and let me tell you this. This is what I'm going to say to you. At the stage you are in your life, and you are doing something for the Lord, and it's still looking small, don't despise it. You're on the right track. That's how God begins his things. He begins with a seed, and seeds are usually very small. Are you getting the point? Now, if God, when God wanted to raise the entire nation called Israel, he began with a man called Abraham. Just one man. And that was the seed. Are you following me now? And we saw that the kingdom of God operates in that seed form. Jesus likened it to a mustard seed. He said it is the smallest of the seeds. He said, but when you plant it in the earth, it grows to become the biggest of trees. That's how it operates. And yes, I showed you that there are three major seeds that you find repeated or implied or inferred in the Bible. First one I said, first one is what? The word of God. Second one? Money. I said money, but I think you write it better as giving. Right? It's better rendered as giving because when it has to do with giving, it mustn't be money. Anything can be a seed. Giving. And the third one is lifestyle. We began to look at the fact that the word of God is a seed, and then it can change us. We saw the parable of the sower yesterday, and that makes it very clear that the seed is the word. Did you get that yesterday? The seed is the word of God. The word of God is the seed. When you sow it, it can become great. It can become great. I began to see yesterday principles, you know, around how to sow the word. Because the problem for many people, it's not that they do not have seed. It's just that they've not sown the seed. Because like I said yesterday, and it bears repeating, that it is not the presence of seed that guarantees harvest. It is seed sown that guarantees harvest. So when you are given the word, right, you must learn to sow it. So when we come to meetings like this, God gives us words. When you are studying your Bible, you are receiving words. You see, when you carry your Bible up like this, this is a compendium of seeds. I get the point. But you see, it's not going to change anything until you sow these seeds. I get the point. Every verse here, every verse in this Bible has the capacity to transform your life. I get the point. If you put it in the right soil, it can change your life. Every single verse here. Every single verse here. You know, someone was struggling with, okay, well, that was an addiction. The people had issues with their mental health. It was a case of, I'm not the kind of mental health you guys preach now. I mean, real mental health issue. Some of them, some of them were in chains. They had lost their mind. And they invited a man of God to come and minister to them. And the man of God, after praying, he got there. He sat in that room. I'm teaching you something here. He sat in that room and began to talk to them about the love of God. These are people who are totally deranged. And he was talking about the word of God and he was singing to them. He was singing the children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know. He was singing it. I get to the point. Every day. He did that for the first day. He came the second day. He was talking about the love of God. and singing. Nothing was working. But you know, he was sowing a seed in their hearts. He said he goes to a time towards the 14th door. So when he comes, once he begins to recite those songs, all of them begin to recite it with him. In less than, I think, 21 days, all of them except one person, all of them were totally sane. Now, what happened to them? He was sowing the seed of the love of God in their hearts. Are you getting the point? So, as simple as John 3:16, for God so loved the world, it can change everything. That's a seed. But then it's not going to work because it's written in the Bible. It's going to work because you began to sow it in your heart. Are you following me this morning, everybody? And that's how we are changed. That's how we are transformed. That's how we become better. That's how we become stronger people. That's how things go from small to big. Because God gives us seeds and we sow it. Let me say this to you. We're going to talk about giving much later. But let me say this to you. Everything that God will do in your life will start with his word. Everything. You see, you want to start a business. Whatever you say, it will start in giving you a word. He'll give you a word. Now, whatever you do with that word, that's what determines whether other things will come out. Other things like money and stuff like that. But it starts with his word. So we saw in the Bible that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And the word of God must be sown for it to work. And I showed you that where you sow the word is in the heart. The heart of man is the soil where you put the word. You don't sow the word into the atmosphere. You sow it in the heart of man. The heart of man is the soil where you put the word. You see, what I'm doing now, I'm teaching you. The word of God is coming to you. Some of them are getting into your ear. Some of them are getting into your heart. It is the one that finds its way to your heart that will change you. I feel what I'm saying now. Some of them are just hearing it and saying, oh, wow, wow. But if it makes its way to your heart, then it's going to change you. And I showed you that one of the easiest ways to get God's word into your heart is by the principle of meditation. If you can get that word as you hear it, you begin to contemplate on it and begin to visualize it and then begin to confess it. The more you do this, the more you contemplate on it, the more you visualize it, the more you ponder on it, the more you speak it forth, what are you doing? You are taking that which has been pronounced and you are putting it in your heart gradually. It's settling in your heart. You are sowing the seed. So it is amazing that many of us have been given seeds but we've never sown it. And they will wonder why it didn't germinate. Why didn't I become rich? Yet the Lord said that, God, I heard the word that in 3 months time this could happen. Why didn't it happen? They told us that the word of God, that when you hear the message of the new creation man, that it can change you, help you and deliver you from your addiction. Why am I still addicted? Should I have heard that message? Why am I still struggling with addiction? But it can actually change you from your addiction. I've been delivered. Many people have been delivered by addictions. I can mention many. Drug addiction, smoking, whatever you can think of. Many have been delivered by that same word. The secret is when they got that word, they began to sow it in their heart. You know, you heard that testimony some time ago. A lady here was addicted to drugs at a very interesting level. To the point that, you know, if she doesn't inject herself with it, she'll be vibrating. You know that kind of thing. She'll be shaking. She does it. And then she just kept coming to church. And we kept sowing the word. I feel what I'm saying. We kept sowing the word every day. Every day. Then one Thursday, she just felt that word has matured. I get to the point. So she went home and picked up her phone and she deleted all. She wanted to delete all the plugs that she had. You know, the people that used to supply and all of that. So she found that she had some. She didn't know how many plugs she had. So she started deleting. I get to the point. Now, that took some time. That day, the next day, it was tough. But what did she do? She just kept speaking the word. Speaking the word. Speaking the word. Today, she's totally free from drugs. Over 1 year plus, no sign of it. No appetite. That is what the word of God can produce.
Now, someone else sat in that same service and heard those same things and nothing happened. It was the same seed. One sowed her own, nurtured it, and it grew to become a tree. The other one just got the seed, and like that man that got one talent, hid the talent and didn't do anything with it. So you've got to sow God's word in your heart by meditation. Put it there. Make sure, you know, see what Sammy said. He said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart." It is in the heart that you hide the word, that I may not sin against you. And I told you, it's one of the easiest ways to memorize God's word. All this memorizing Bible verses is by meditation. If you meditate on a verse long enough, I can't remember the last time that I sat down to say, let me cram a verse. Do that, it's not bad. I can't remember the last time. But I have many verses in my head. I'll tell you how. If you stay on it for some time, the day you will quote, you don't even know that has entered your head. I get what I'm saying now. If you stay on it for long, you just begin to quote it. It begins to pour out. Hallelujah. There are a few other things I'm going to talk about, maybe not today. Maybe another time I have an opportunity to share on meditation with you. I'm going to give you some other practical steps, because sometimes you can wake up, without things you can do, you can wake up today and say, this week, I'm talking about deliberate meditation. I want to meditate on faith or meditate on healing. Right? And then you take your time and get healing scriptures. And then you are reading them contemplatively. As you're contemplating, you're reading. And after that, you put it in your mind, you can decide that this whole week I meditate on healing. One of the men of God that I was listening to some time ago, he said he divided his days. Each day of the week, there is something he's meditating on with scriptures. Now that's intentional meditation. Sowing the word in his heart. So you read it, you enjoy it, you pray all of that. Then throughout the day, you put your mind on it. You put your mind on it. What's happening? You are sowing that word in your heart by way of contemplating, by way of visualizing it. And visualizing is a very strong word. I've meditated on Jesus' stories that in many cases I've seen myself in those places where he worked those miracles. You know, when you read God's word meditatively and you visualize it, you'll be so blessed. It will make more sense to you. I ever tried to visualize Moses dividing the Red Sea? I ever tried to visualize it? Think of the number of persons there were. Think of how was the Red Sea standing? Where did the waters go? Okay, they were standing. Think of their walking through the Red Sea. Think of, I get the point. You are visualizing, you are painting pictures. In that imagination, you are seeing possibilities. That's why Isaiah 26 verse 3 tells us, he said, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." In the original, what he says is, whose imagination is stayed on thee. So what you do to your imagination matters a lot. So that's how you put the word of God in your heart. And I told you yesterday, make this a daily action and also deliberately do this when there is a situation at hand. When you need to pass your exam, you're struggling with your studies, or something is not going as you want, deliberately begin to do something with the word of God in your heart. Begin to sow God's word in your heart. You know, when you don't have a job and you don't have money, that's not the time to begin to think and meditate on evil. Why not get scriptures? Brother Ekin will always put it this way. He said, find scriptures that cover your case. Why not get scriptures that cover that case and stay on them? Meditate on them. Confess them. Scriptures that cover your case. And I can tell you confidently, there is nothing you are going through that are not scriptures that cover the case. Nothing. No matter what you are going through, there are scriptures that cover that case. Why not find them and stay on them? And stay on them. You are sowing it in your heart until it begins to germinate. Shout a big amen this morning. So you do that. You sow the word in your heart. So I'll pick up from there. Now, another thing, remember the scriptures we are looking at. Do you remember? We are looking at Mark chapter 4. We are looking at Matthew chapter 13. We are looking at Luke chapter 8. The three of them is the same parable, the parable of the sower. But let me refresh your mind what I said yesterday. I said, when a particular story in the Bible appears in two places or in three places, to get the real
thing that happened there. You have to read all the accounts. Were you here yesterday when I said that? And I gave you an example and why you need to do that. I gave you an example. If I tell, I think I used Minister Kennedy yesterday and who else? And Brochibai. If I ask both of them to, maybe yesterday service, they were in service yesterday, and I ask them to write an account of what happened in the service yesterday. They are going to write from different perspectives. They are going to write from different temperaments. One of them may pay attention to even describing the clothes that pastor wore, how he came in. Do you understand? One of them might even tell you the choir. One of them might write, and the choir sang a song. And were blessed. That one may start writing, no, the choir sang this one first, and sang the next one. So if you want to really know what happened in service, read the accounts of the both of them. I get the point. So the fact that one of them did not talk about the clothes the pastor wore doesn't mean he was lying. That's why you can read Matthew's account and read Luke's account, and they omit some details. It's not because one was lying, just because one did not feel that detail was important. At least to his audience. And if I take it a step further, I will tell you that the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are written to different audience. I get the point. I think Matthew was written to the Jews. Mark was written to the Gentiles. Luke was written to a person. His name was Theophilus. Do you understand? So when Luke is writing to Theophilus, Luke is writing whatever he thinks is important to Theophilus. It's not following me this morning at all. So if you really want to know the real thing that happened, you have to take your time and look at all the stories. For instance, if you look at sort of the mission of Jesus, the arrangement is different. Two of them agreed that Jesus was tempted. But one said, did you do CRS? The first one is turn stone to bread, right? Everybody agrees. But then the second one, the other one said he took him to a high mountain first and told him to fall that God will catch him. The other one, you know, these are different, they rendered it differently, but it's the same thing. So we're looking at these three passages. Amen. So I'm going to show you this. So the next thing, when you sow the seed, when God gives you a seed to sow, and you sow the seed, the next thing you've got to learn to do is how to protect that seed. And this is very important. To protect that seed. Once God gives you a seed, you must learn how to protect it. Now, why are we protecting it? Because as you will learn shortly, many things are coming against that seed that God has given you. So when God gives you a word, when you learn something from God's word, when we share it from God's word, you must learn how to protect that thing that has been shared. That you've gotten. The Bible tells us in the parable of the sower that the first seed, the first set of people, the seed fell on by the wayside. And the best of the air came to pick it. You remember that? The second one, the seed fell on stone, on stony ground. And the third one, the seed fell on thorny ground. Now, these were different. You learned that these are different things that will come against the word that you've received. So let's look at the first one. So the first one, the seed fell by the wayside. How did Jesus interpret that parable? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. Matthew 13 and verse 8. Let's look at Jesus' interpretation of the parable. Are you there now? Have you found it? He said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So Jesus was interpreting the parable. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." So, who did Jesus say will come against the word? Talk to me. The wicked one. Who is that wicked one? Let's see Mark's account. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. So Matthew says the wicked one. And Matthew believes that his audience will understand what he means by the wicked one. Mark renders the same thing in Mark chapter 4, verse 14. He said, "The sower sowed the word," and verse 15. He said, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard," What did Mark say? Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word. So Matthew calls it the wicked one. Mark said he's Satan. Are you getting the points? So he tells you that the first person that is coming against the word that God has given you is Satan. Why did Matthew not say Satan? Why did he just say wicked one? Well, he believes that his audience will understand. And Mark believes that his audience will not understand what when he says wicked one. So he says, let me make it very clear, it's Satan. I learned how to study your Bible now. Don't just say, I just read this because I'm confused. If a matter appears, you find this in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You find this kind of study also when you're reading maybe 1 Kings, 2 Kings, I get the point. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Samuel, and all that. You see stories repeated. Some of them expanded in some books. Some of them just mentioned in some books. Are you following me? In fact, it will interest you to know, if you read the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, you find this thing happen. Ephesians and Colossians are actually the same books as far as I'm concerned. The same book. Paul used the same note, the same message notes. He used it to write to them. Are you following the point? So look at that. So he says it's the wicked one. Let's see Luke, just so that we can confirm what you just said. What did Luke say? Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Luke 8 verse 12. He said, those by the wayside are they that hear the word of God, then cometh who now? The devil. So Matthew calls it the wicked one. Mark calls him Satan. Luke calls him devil, the same person. I learned something now. And so, whenever the word of God is spoken or comes to you, the devil is going to come against those words. Now, what does he want to do with those words? What does he want to do to those words? Pay attention. Let's go over what we read again. Go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. What is he coming to do? Or let's start from Mark. Let me just follow how it is in my notes. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. So we've seen that the devil will come against the word of God spoken to you. But look, what will he do? Verse 15. He said, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So he comes to take it away. To take it away. What does that mean? Let's see Matthew. To take it away. Matthew 13, verse 18. What does he mean? Verse 19, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then the wicked one comes. So what does the wicked one, what is the wicked one trying to achieve? To make sure you don't understand it. So the first job, the major job of the wicked one, the devil, Satan, is to stop, to block your understanding. Now I want to pay attention to this. Because every word, as we are talking now, the wicked one is walking. When you are praying and God gives you a word, the wicked one is, because to the level you understand that thing, that's where your receiving starts from. So he tries to stop your understanding. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 verse 12. Luke 8 verse 12. He says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe. So Luke notes that the devil starts from believing. Matthew says he starts from understanding. What does that tell you? The devil wants to stop from understanding the word, because when you don't understand it, you will not believe it. Because believing is a product of understanding. You know, faith is a product of knowledge. Now, this is not big English. This is not even Bible. It's not even Rema. It's just fact. Right? There are things you will know. You will believe differently. I always give the example. If I tell you to come to my house tomorrow, let me not use myself. If your neighbor touches and says, you know, come to the house tomorrow, I'm going to give you 100 million. You might be happy, or you might just laugh as a joke. What would that mean, whether you are happy or whether you are just laughing at the joke, is dependent on what you know about the person. If you know him as a billionaire, if you find out that the person sitting by your side is who now? Maybe you just found out that Elon Musk or his son is the one sitting by your side. And you've heard that he's very generous and that he likes you. This is knowledge. First of all, you have knowledge of his ability. You know, saying get the money. Do you get the point? Then, secondly, you have knowledge of his heart. You know he's generous. So when he says, tomorrow, I'll give you 100 million. You say, thank you, sir. What time should I come? But if that your neighbor now says, I give 100 million tomorrow, you just say, you cracked me up. Because for him, he's cracking you up. So faith is dependent on knowledge. So the devil knows that if he can stop you from understanding what God is saying, you will not be able to, it will produce unbelief. So the first attack of the devil with the word is to make sure you don't understand it, you don't get the full message. Do you know, for instance, there are people who have gotten their word for the year, for the church. My year of breaking for some people's word is their year of whatever. But they don't really understand the full implication of those of that word. They will not receive anything. Because they don't even have faith to believe anything. So the devil comes at your understanding. That's why, for instance, as God's word is coming now, he will try to distract you. He will try to play with your head. Because once he cuts it off at the point of understanding, every other thing is over. That word will not even find its way to your heart. So you must protect the word of God, because Satan will come for it. And the major way he comes for it is to make sure you don't understand it, so that you can produce unbelief. Because anything you don't understand, you don't believe. Are you getting me, everybody, this morning? Yes. Understanding. So when we're teaching new creation realities, God wants you to be changed. God wants to save you. If you do not understand it, it will not make it. Just like when you go to preach the gospel to a sinner. You know, salvation will only come to that sinner if he understands that gospel message. If he doesn't understand it, he can never be saved. So that's why the warfare you fight in evangelism is that the devil tries to block the understanding of the sinner. Are you following me, everybody? He tries to make sure you don't understand anything. So you are talking up. The guy is talking OP. That's warfare taking place. That's why you must protect the word against Satan. And how do you do that? Very simple. You must pay attention. When the word is coming, when God is speaking to you, pay attention. When God is speaking to you in prayer, don't be in a hurry to leave that place. Stay there till you understand everything God is saying. Because if you don't understand the full thing God wants to offer you, you will not receive nothing. That's why I don't just come out here and announce to us, the word of the month is that is our month of this. You say, I will take time to explain to you. Look at what it means, because if you don't understand the implication and what God is saying, you will not get anything. You see why God's word has not changed you yet? Because you read your Bible like newspaper. You read your Bible without any plan to understand. And until you read this Bible to understand, it will not be changed. That's what I was talking to you last time. I say, get simpler translations. Don't be reading Thou as we art. And you and I know you don't understand nothing. Oh Lord, Thou art good. Whithersoever Thou goest. What you don't realize is this. The generation that the King James Bible was written to understood it totally. Well, that was their way, the way they communicated in their days. Just like, have you read Shakespeare novels? Do you love? Some of these literature students love Shakespeare novels. Now, Shakespeare was not trying to make your life difficult. Shakespeare was communicating to his age, his contemporaries, and they read, they will say, oh wow. One of the, you know, the first Christian book ever written, who has read Pilgrim's Progress? Have you? Who has read the original version of Pilgrim's Progress? The original version of it doesn't have any S. It's Pilgrim Progress. Go look for it. And I'm not trying to confuse you. It's just
So if you're going to read your own, yes, have your King James. But have New Living Translation. Amplify class. What those ones that will at least say what you can hear. Thou deliverest me from evil. Can be rendered as you deliver me when I'm passing through a lot. No, that communicates better. You can even relate. You can say, I get the point. But when the Lord says, it's a you're breaking forth. No, that's old English too. But you've got to understand the meaning of that. Are you following me? Just like if we read that Isaiah 50, is it 54? 54 or so? Where he says, oh, single barren. If you read that place, 54, 1 to 3, in the King James, and then you read it with NLT, and read it with message, you say, do we try? Let me show you. It's not in my notes. I just want to show you this. Isaiah 54. Let's look at this. I'm not saying that's the only way you understand. I'm just saying that's one of the things you do to help you understand. Use simpler translations. That's not the only thing you do, but that's one of the things you should do. Because once you don't understand the word, you will not receive anything. The devil fights your understanding. Sing, O barren, thou that is not bear forth, that not bear rather. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, that is not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, said the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the cordings of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy course and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make desolate the cities to be inhabited. This is a blessing. Well, let's see NLT of it. Were you blessed by that? Very clear stuff, and I understood it. If you did not, I did. But let's look at NLT. NLT says, sing, O childless woman, you have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you have never been in labor. For the desolate woman has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. Verse 2 says, enlarge your house. What did he say? What did King James say? Enlarge the place of thy tents. Are you following the point? Because they lived in tents. Now we don't live in tents. We live in house. It says, spread out your home and spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. And your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Look at Message Bible. It says, sing, O barren woman, who had never had a baby. Fill the air with song. You have never experienced childbirth. You are ending up with far more children than those childbearing women. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty ropes. Drive the tent pegs deep. You are going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Makes more sense, right? Communicates better. You can even say, I receive. Do you get the point? So, the point is, so if I try to teach you that you can conquer sin and break out of sin, you've got to understand it first. That's why in Bible teaching, I hear this. That's why in Bible teaching, you don't attempt to just show people the answer. That's what they're trying to do. You're showing them the workings. You don't come out and say, Jesus died for your sins and he has saved you. You say, hallelujah. Mm-mm. You have to show them how the need for the death of Jesus on the cross, how he went to the cross, what going to the cross meant. That's how I teach. So when I'm done, you now say, oh, wow, I now get it. That is the point where you begin to harvest, begin to, you know, protect the word. Because if the devil cuts it off at that point of understanding, you are gone. So what's the here? So you must protect the word of God against the devil who tries to make sure you don't understand, thereby producing unbelief. So pay attention. That's the key word. As we're teaching now, pay attention. Pay attention. Don't be distracted. Reduce how you walk up and down when the word of God is going on. Because even though you come back and you catch up,
You might have missed some key points that will aid your understanding. Reduce it. What you are trying to do, and God's word is coming, you are trying to make sure you understand. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 21, Paul prayed for them that the eyes of the understanding be enlightened. Ephesians 1, verse 17. If you find it, tell me you found it. So we'll look for it. I'll wait for you. Ephesians 1, 17. Are you there? Let's read it together, everybody. Come on now. Read. I know you've not eaten, but just try to read. Let's go again now. Verse 18. Stop. You know, this is what I'm talking about using recent translations. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What does that mean? NLT will say, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand. Is that clearer? So that when you go to prayer, you're not praying, Father, the eyes of my understanding, do you know what you're saying? What you're saying is that I will be able to understand. Are you following me? So that you may be able to understand the confidence to be has given those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. So Paul was praying that they understand. And let me even say to you, this is one of the things you can do for yourself. When you are praying for revelation, when you are praying for understanding, you are actually protecting the seed of the word of God. Because if you don't understand, the devil has taken that word at that point where it was planted. So a heart that lacks understanding is what the Bible refers to, in his parable, as the seed that fell by the wayside. So the wayside is the heart that lacks understanding. Are you getting the point now? You understand what I told you now? I thought these are different kinds of source. Just explaining there. The heart that lacks understanding, that is its wayside. Look, what is wayside? Wayside is like you are sowing, you are planting in your farm. And before you go to the farm, some of the seed fell off on cement, fell off at different points. It will not grow there. That's wayside. So that's how the Bible sees a heart that doesn't have understanding. So you must protect your heart against unbelief, against the devil. Who wants to make sure you don't understand so that you will not believe? So as I'm teaching the word, the devil is working. As you are reading the Bible, the devil is working to make sure you don't have perfect understanding. That's why you back up your Bible study with prayer. Prayer for revelation. That my eyes be open, that I have clarity in the word, that I see clearly what God has done in Christ, that I am not confused. Now, I'll say this much later. The more you grow in light, the more you grow in light, the more the word of God is bearing fruit in your life. The more light you have on a matter, the more possibility of having results in that matter. You know, if you are sick, the first thing you need to do is to understand the concept of divine healing. Now, if you don't understand it, and I'm here shouting, be healed, you might receive your healing, but you go home and lose it. You have to understand healing. If you're broke and you need prosperity, you have to understand prosperity. If you don't understand the Bible teaching on prosperity, you're going to remain broke. God has given you a seed, but the devil has taken away that seed before it even got into your heart by making sure you don't understand it. Are you following what I'm saying now? So first you protect the word of God against the devil. Because the devil, the wicked one, is coming for that word that you've received. Are you still here now? So protect the seed against the devil, against Satan, who will come for the word. Next, Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. Let's see the next one. That's the seed that fell on stony ground. Matthew 13 and verse 20. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Now look at what it says. But he that received the seed into stony places is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet had he not roots in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, By and by, he's offended. So what is the second thing you'll find that will come against the world? Tribulation, persecution. Did you see that? Tribulation. So those was seed that fell on stony ground. The reason it did not produce was tribulation and persecution came against that word. Are you following to this point? Give me like an NLT of the verse. New Living Translation. It said, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. See, it tells you that when you receive the word, problems will arise. Tribulations will come. Persecution will come. They are coming because of that word you received. Have you not seen many people all over the place who just received the word and say, oh, I received, God said, you're going to prosper. You leave the place so excited, I'm prospering. I'm prospering. Oh, I'm breaking forth in millions. And then the next day, the small 10,000 that you have finishes. You speak that word for 1 week, and even the garri you used to drink, you can no longer drink it again. What is happening? Tribulation has come. And it's coming because of that word you received. Are you following what I'm saying now? Look at that. When problems come, or when that person for believing that word, they go, I'm not doing it again. All these things that are telling us is not working. Challenges will come against what we receive. You know, I know someone that when he was struggling with masturbation as an addiction. So he went to pray. He went for a retreat. 3 days, dry fasting. And he was speaking the word. He was speaking the word. He was speaking the word. And he came down from that mountain so sure that he has won. The day he came down, the pressure came on him so much. And then he fell for it. And then he called me and said, it's not working. Now, what is happening? The pressure that came at that word that he has received. Now you've got to learn what the devil does. So, Matthew says it is tribulation. Let's see Mark. Mark says, that's Mark chapter 4, verse 16. Mark 4, verse 16. He says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive the gladness. The problem is, these guys received the word well. So they understood it. They crossed that level of understanding. They were even glad. They did a galio. They rejoiced. When someone told them, you know, Shandaraba, Shandorobo, Shandorobo. Say, this year, I see you crossing the borders of this country. And it has been in your heart before. You now go, whoo, glory. We joy. We receive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But see the next verse. And they have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they're offended. So he finished saying, I'm leaving this country. I see myself in Australia. In the prayer, he has even seen the house he's going to live in. He has even seen how he's going to change the world for Jesus there. The Lord has told him that there's a person you're going to meet there. His name is going to be Maxwell. He has gotten all the details. Then he goes to the visa interview. And immediately he's going to look at him and say, denied. Don't you wonder what the heck is happening? I thought God spoke to me. Then he leaves the whole thing. Persecution will... Are you getting the point? You must protect the word. Protect the word. He said the persecution and tribulation, they arose because of the word, for the word's sake. Then he gets offended. All this preaching, all these things are telling us, all these things they keep telling, well, you are blessed, you are blessed. I leave that. The Bible says he doesn't have roots. Because if he had roots, he should have known that persecution would definitely come because of the word. Affliction will come because the devil couldn't yank off that word. At the receiving level, you cross the understanding level. Now the word is trying to bear fruit, so it's going to come at it. So think of agriculture practically. You're carrying seed. Some seed will fall off.
then you're going to sow. Imagine you sow the seed and you did not push it deep into the earth. Rain is going to come. You know rain. Now, this is very interesting. You know rain actually is supposed to make the seed germinate. But when rain comes and you didn't sow it deep, the rain will wash off the seed and expose it. So I'm trying to tell you, it comes at everybody. But you must know that you must protect God's word that has spoken to you against these things. Look at Luke's account. Luke chapter 8. Are you learning something now? Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. Luke 8 verse 13. Oh, hallelujah. Now look at what it says. It says, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Of course, they were excited. He says, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. They say, I'm not going for this again. So many people have received the word, they have planted the word, but they could not protect that word, that seed they planted. Do you get the point now? So challenges come and they uproot what they planted. So all this word. Jacob said, I'm going to go abroad. I was just on my own. I was not planning to travel abroad. You brought the word. You spoke to me. I was enjoying my village. You are the one that spoke to me. I'm supposed to go abroad. I was having a good life. I didn't have any plan. You know, God, I don't have ambition. I just don't. And then you brought the plan. I now accepted the plan. I now went to the place. They now reject me. Another example is, you know, someone says, you have been. The Lord, maybe the Lord just speaks to you, said you're about to enjoying divine health. And you're just so excited. Oh, divine health is mine. Oh, glory to God. No hospitals. I'm walking in divine health. The life of God is working. And after that teaching, and you get home that night, wake up the next morning, you can't even raise your leg. Has it ever happened to you? And you say, I can't feel myself. What is happening? Those things are coming because of the word. Are you following the point? There are tribulations that arise because of the word. That God can speak to you about a better job and you get home and lose the one that you have. Are you still here? Do you have experiences in these things I'm talking about? If you ever walk with God, you'll be seeing some things like this. And it's not God doing it. It is that they are coming for that word. That word. Because the devil has seen that this seed can become a giant tree tomorrow. So we have to stop it from growing. We have to stop it from growing. So he sends all of those things. Then he kills the seed. And you uproot that seed from your heart. Hallelujah. You see, that's what we're emphasizing. We're emphasizing, you know, yesterday, the need for you to allow the word of God to take root in your heart. Because you observe this, in all the accounts that were read, those seeds did not fall off because of the persecution. Did you observe? They fell off because they didn't have roots. Oh, are you following what I'm saying now? That's why you must let the word of God take root in your heart. And that's what I'm talking about meditation. The reason you can easily drop off like that is that when you got the word, you were just excited and you ran off. The word did not take root. That's why Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So in all the cases, what came against the word was persecution, tribulation, troubles, but they were not the reason the word did not work. The seed failed because the seed did not have roots. Oh, are you following me this morning at all? So you've got to let the word of God take root in your heart. You know, there are people that hear all these things we teach about you are saved, you're eternally saved, you're a righteous man in Christ, and you're just so excited. You can never go to hell. You're just excited. And then you leave that place and something comes for the word. It can be anything. It can be a contrary teaching. Have you not heard people that were saying, I'm eternally saved, I'm righteous in Christ? You see them after 2 months. They said, even if I'm going to go to heaven or go to hell. What happened? There was no root. What happened was that you heard it in church and you just rejoiced at it. You received it with joy, but you didn't let it take root. You have to go home and let that word take root, deep root in your heart. That nothing can come at it. There are people that will hear the message, you can never go to hell. God has saved you. If you are born again, God has saved you eternally. And then they sleep that night and they see a dream where they missed rapture. And they get up and they see them rolling on the floor. Chimule kwekwala. Kamburo nyega bacho sondwa. Mamboruru. Do you know that song? Achomo. I don't believe in that song. Let me tell you something. Maybe you are new here, but let me just tell you. If you've been walking with the Lord on this earth, he cannot come to take his people and leave you. If you carry the Spirit all the while, he cannot come to take his people and leave you. There is nothing like left behind for the believer in Christ. Nothing like that. Now, you're not, of course you're hearing this, you're even excited. You say, I'm blessed. But you don't know it. You've got to let it take root. Where I am in my journey with learning God's word, if I see myself in hell, I'm so sure it's a dream. I'll just wake up. You say, you can never be so sure. That's the point. I am so sure. Very, very sure. You say, I don't match. Because this our God is mysterious. I wonder how you see God as a mysterious God and are still following him. And yet, you are leaving your girlfriend because you don't understand her. Are you following me now? I am following a God you don't understand. He say, our God will lead us. You know that song? He will lead us. Our God will lead us. He's a miracle God. He's a pillar of cloud. By the day, he's a pillar of fire. By the night, you can never understand. So why following a man you can't understand? And yet your girl will do one thing and say you are ending the relationship. I don't understand, but you are following God. You don't understand. You know what that eventually tells you is that understanding is one of the major keys for a healthy relationship. And yet you don't understand God. You claim God cannot be understood, yet you are following him. If God cannot be understood, I won't follow him. But thank God he can be known. He can be understood. He has been revealed in the face of Jesus. So he doesn't wake up today and become something else. He doesn't wake up as a tyrant today. As what he wakes up as love. And next he wakes up as a lion. As in Dabuski. Say to that, I'm not a man of law. Like that. He has a consistent character. Every place where you see God look like he's not consistent in his character, it is man that have misrepresented him. I tell you the truth. So I'm telling you confidently that God has saved you. If you are born again, he has saved you and you are bound for heaven. You're heaven bound. Are you following the point? Now, hearing this is not enough. You've got to let it take root. That's why I tell you, even till tomorrow, I still read books on righteousness by faith. I still read books on new creation realities. I still read books on what God has done in Christ. Because I'm letting that word take root in my heart. Because it is not challenges or tribulations that kill the word in this verse. The word had no root. Are you following me now? Let the word of God dwell richly. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. Richly. Richly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, if I do a teaching on how to overcome addictions, I have an addiction. Go home with that teaching. Don't say, wow, I was so blessed there. Go home and allow it to take root. Listen to it again. Listen to it again. There are messages you have to listen to 96 times. Yes. You hear it again. You take notes afresh. Are you following me now? You hear it again. You make a new note on it. You hear it again. You are meditating on it. Then you, one day you now bring out your notes that you've made. You are studying the scriptures by yourself one by one. You are allowing it to take root in your heart. That way, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter the challenges that come, the word has taken root. Yes. Let him take root in your heart. So if I were you, that the Lord spoke that I'm going to travel abroad, I'm not just going to start dancing. After I dance, I will go home with the word. I will meditate on it. I will pray with it. I will confess it. I won't do it for one day. I'll do it for 5 days, for 6 weeks, for 10 weeks, for 2 months, for 3 months, until it takes root. That even when I get to the interview and they say, we reject you, you will just smile and tell them, I'm going to come back and you will accept me. That you've come to a point of knowing. Are you following me now? Where it has taken root. It has taken root. Tell you guys about Ashbel Blessing Dahosa. Finished the meeting. The next morning, he was supposed to go to the chapel around 4 in the morning. He said he got up and his feet, he couldn't raise his leg. He tried. He couldn't raise his leg. And then he tried and tried. When he wasn't walking, he just said, well, I'm going to church. Leg, meet me in church. Now, that's crazy. So he got up on one leg and began to hop. Before he got to church, the leg was fine. You know why? He has come to a point of knowing that even though my body may be sick, that's a revelation of divine healing. It has taken root. So whatever happened on the outside was not enough to change what he knew in his heart. Are you guys what I'm talking about now? That's why many of you will teach you on long life. That God wants you to live long. You say, hey, hallelujah, amen. You know what the devil is going to do? In less than a few weeks, you are going to hear of a strong Christian that died young. Are you following me? He's going to make sure that you cross that, you get to that post on Facebook. He's coming for that word in your heart. He say believers will live long. Say this one is not believer. This one was spiritual and he died young. He's coming for that word. Are you still here this morning? So when you get some of those words on divine health and long life, stay on it. So it takes root in you. And even when you are at the point of death, when the doctors have said there is no more hope, you still know that the life of God is working in me. I'm not going to die now. It was through God's word that normally says, he says, I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell Smith how to feel. You know, he has got a revelation that it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. I don't ask Smith how are you doing. I tell Smith, today you're going to be happy. Today, Smith, we are shouting today. You've got to a point where that word has taken root. That anything on the outside does not have power to change what you feel on the inside. So look at that. The word on the rock, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. But they have no roots. So for a while they believe, but in time of temptation. So they are believing until there is temptation. Are you following me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why sometimes you get some of those God has told you, you listen to them, you even look for songs that will communicate the same thing, and you're on them. You're on them. You're on them. Some of you know the story of how when we came to Enugu here, Lord has made me promises about how we are going to grow and all of that. And then for years, for months rather, we were not growing. Nobody was coming. What did I do? I just went to back to the Lord in prayer. And, you know, I kept saying those words. And when the Lord reaffirmed those words to me, I had to put them in a song. Put them in a song. You know, we preached it on every mountain. Put that. So I kept singing it and reaffirming it. It took hold in me. So much so that even if I come, some days when I come to church and I see 6 people or 5 people, people here can tell, I'll still be telling them that we're going to be big. When we're still 5, I'll still telling them we're going to do meetings in stadiums. How are you guys just wishing yourself well? that is something we have heard. You know, yesterday, no, 2 days ago, when we went for the workers' retreat, that same hall, where we had that workers' retreat, where many workers didn't even show up, was the same hall we had Zoe 2018, 2019, 2020, and even that workers' retreat was bigger than those Zoe's that we had there. But now we are there for our workers' retreats. I follow what I'm saying now. Workers' retreat. Now, when it was just seven people, there is something that God has spoken to me. And I stayed with it and kept pushing it in the heart. So even if I stayed for 6 months and nobody was coming around, I know what I've believed. Scratch that. I know whom I have believed. But you know, it doesn't come by just getting excited. You have to let it take root. Because I tell you, everything God has told you, Satan will come for it. Tribulations will come for it. And it will not, you will not lose those words because the temptation was too big. It is because you had no root. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And there's a truth that we know. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus made an open show. Yes.
The devil is a liar. The blow he got was final. We'll lift up a shout, cause the victory is won.
That's the truth that we know. That's the truth
that we know. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus made an open show. Of hell and his home.
Yes.
The devil is a liar. The blow he got was final. So we'll lift up a shout, as the victory is won.
That's the truth that we know. That's the
truth that we know. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus made a noble show.
Aye-ya.
Of hell and its hopes.
Aye-ya.
The devil is a liar. The blow he got was final. So, we lift up a shout.
Read one more time now. That's the truth that we know. That's
the truth that we know. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus made a noble show.
Aye.
Of hell and his home.
The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar. The blow he got was final.
So
we lift up a shout.
Come on.
Cause the victory is won.
We say victory is won.
Victory is won. The heavens are open.
Come on, sing.
Sound it from the rooftops. Seasons have changed, and the victory is won.
You know the word that came to me when I sang this song? The devil is a liar. Let God be true, and everyone a liar. Let God be true, and the pain I feel in my body a liar. Let God be true, and my bank account be a liar. Let God be true, and the economy be the liar. You know, you can stone this word for long. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Let God be true, and let every other thing be a lie. Let my abekone moshunenda rakaya. Let the rash that I feel in my body be a lie. Let God be true. Let the pain I feel be a lie. Let God be true. You know, you can stone it for long. So much that when things are happening around you, you know those things are lies. They are lies. The pain in your body is a lie. The headache is a lie. Is this a, is it a lie? And it's really headaching. I know. But you know, you don't form this thing. Don't pretend. You let it take root. So that no matter what happens, it has entered. Sit for a moment. So let me explain it to you with agriculture and all of that. So when you plant something, I'm telling some of you, when you plant certain, how many of you know about scarecrows? You know it, right? Where you construct those things to scare the birds away. You know that is a point your plants will grow to. You no longer need all those scarecrows to scare them away. They have outgrown where the birds and whatever those animals can affect. But at that level, when it's still at this infant stage, you have to protect. Are you following the point? Because there is a level where those things will attack your seed. It will not grow again. Now, that's how it was. When you get the word, that time you go to protect it because it's coming for it. Until it gains that root in you. I know that no matter what happens, nothing will happen. So let it get root. Let it get roots. They fell off, I say it again, because there was no root. They fell off because there was no root. So the first thing that will come against the word of God, for instance, is Satan. Trying to help make you not to understand it, of course, producing unbelief. And the second is persecution, temptation, tribulations that will arise because of the word. But then, that temptation and persecution will work if the word has no root. So the solution to this, how to protect the word at this level, is to make sure that you allow it to take root. That's by meditation, by studying it again, let it take root. Are you still here? The third thing that will come against the word, Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13 and verse 22. Ooh, glory to God. My life is changing. Do you believe that? I say my life is changing. My life is changing. And it's getting better and better and better and better. Oh, hallelujah. Are you in verse 22 now? He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So the tough thing that will come against the word that you received is the care of this world. And observe this. The care of this world, there, give me like NLT, it's not even talking about bad things, sin. No. NLT calls it the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. Man, I need to make it. I need to do this. Those things will come against the world. So what are these things trying to produce? In one word, they're trying to produce distraction. They want to distract you from focusing on the world. So you now focus on the cares of this world. I get the point. So see what happens is, when the devil comes against that word, he wants to get you so busy. Because remember, now let me explain it to you. You planted maize seed. So you can understand what I'm making of this word. You planted maize seed here. How will that maize seed grow? You have to show up every day to, let's say there is no rainfall. You have to come and water it, right? You have to water it to a point. At the time, you have to come and weed it. If I succeed in getting you too busy to ignore that seed you planted, the seed will not do well. He's not following me to that at all. So he gets you busy with the care of this world, that you become too busy with life, that you forget that there is a seed you have to nurture. Are you following me? You become so busy with life, that you forget that there is a seed that needs nurturing. Oh, let me look at Mark now. Look at Mark's account. Mark chapter 4 verse 18. Mark 4 verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches,
and the loss of other things. That please, give me NLT of this verse. Everybody watch. But all too quickly, the message is crafted by worries of this life, lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. It's not like you're doing something bad. So that you now get preoccupied with other things, that you no longer have the time to give attention to the word that you received. Simply put, the seed of the word of God demands some amount, some level of attention for it to grow. So the devil knows this, so he brings things that would distract you from paying attention to that word. From paying attention to it. Are you still here? Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke 8, verse 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Many of us, the word have started working, but then you got distracted. Other things. You know, life is busy. So, do you know there are some of you that have even forgotten the word you received 6 months ago? So, you're no longer watering it. You're no longer nurturing it deliberately. Are you following me? I mean, the word you received 6 months ago, you've forgotten it. The word you received 3 weeks ago, because while you are in the meeting, we are getting blessed, we are enjoying this word, you are writing things down, you are going home now, you are going home to your school, you are going home to work, you are going home to family, you are going home to everything. I get it, we now get so busy. Try to do all of those things at the same time. Before you know, you don't even remember again that there is a seed you planted. Just remember this illustration I give you. You planted maize, then you forgot you planted it. Then after 3 weeks, you say, wait. Who has ever planted, who has ever farmed pepper? I ever planted pepper? Pepper. Anybody, let me see your hand. All these Osoka people, you should be used to pepper. Now, I've never considered pepper, but it's one of the most demanding. You have to water it. It cannot, if rain doesn't fall for 24 hours, or 48 hours, your pepper has died. So you have to keep going to water it. You have to keep going to water it. Imagine you cultivate pepper and then you forget it. After like 2 weeks, that's what happens with the word. Are you following me? That's what happens with the word that we receive. So notice the Bible did not say that what chokes this word as a sin. It's not sin, no. Care of this world gets so busy that you forget that there's a seed you put to the ground that has to be watered. You stop talking about it. You stop confessing it. You stop even forget entirely. Now, this is why I say it all the time. All these words for the year people rejoice about may not happen. Because some of them are at February, they stop fighting. When you plant something in the earth, until your harvest comes, you don't stop attending to it. That's simple agricultural principle. If you get there and it needs weeding, you weed it. There's a time yam will get to a point, you need to stake it. I get what I'm saying now. You stake it. Whatever, if it needs fertilizer, you put it. Yes. You don't ever get to a point and you say, what's even wrong with this yam? I'm never going to go there again. If you want, produce. If you want, don't produce. Now you sabi. Now the yam you really sabi because it's not going to produce nothing. So what let me say it in one word. What the devil uses to deal with the word is busyness. You get so busy. Looking for what is not looking for you.
you get so busy. You're looking for this. You are pushing. Before you know, you even get so busy pursuing money that you even forget that there is a promise of prophet that God gave you. Of course, you should look for money. You should work hard and all that. But don't forget that you have to nurture the seed. Because at the end of the day, what will bear fruit is the seed of the word of God and not your hard work only. There's a limit to what your hard work can give you. Your hard work will begin to work more effectively because there is a seed you are watering. So the key to this, I'm going to tell you simply, is to deliberately practice meditation. That's what I taught you yesterday. To guard your heart, to make sure you don't lose it deliberately. What do I mean by deliberately? No matter what it means to you, if it means setting an alarm every day that says this is the time to meditate on the word and confess God about what He spoke to you daily. Deliberately. The Bible told us yesterday, we saw it, that in the evening, Isaac stood up and went to the field to go and meditate. Can you imagine you saw Isaac say, why are you going to say I'm going to the field? Say, what's happening there? I'm going to go and meditate. That's intentionality. Because if you don't get deliberate, I can tell you, life is so busy. But let me even tell you a general principle. Life is so busy that whatever you do not schedule, you will forget. If you want to be a good student and you want to read when you have time, you will never read. You only read once in a while. You have to schedule it that by 2 p.m. I'm reading chemistry. Are you following me? By 4 p.m. I'm reading physics. If not, life will get so busy. That's the same thing. If you want to read your Bible when you have time, you will not read it. If you want to pray when you have time, you will not pray. You have to plan it. That this is the time I'm going to spend reading God's word. This time I'm going to spend it confessing God's word. Plan it so you don't ever forget that God. Remember, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. You can easily forget. And I can tell you, forget not His promises. Forget not what He has told you. Do you remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 14? He said, neglect not the gift that is in you. What does it mean by that? It means remember it. Because you can actually, do you know, if I impart you with a healing anointing and you forget that you have a healing anointing, you will not flow in the healing anointing. Yes, your memory is so important in working with God. Are you following me? If you're not more conscious of it, it's not flowing. I'm still flowing strongly in anointing today because I'm conscious of the fact that I'm anointed. And I tell them myself, so that I first looked in the mirror and said, man, you are anointed. I tell myself. Is I being proud? If anything you call it, it's working. I tell myself, I'm anointed. I'm anointed to cast out devils. I'm anointed to lead a generation. I'm a mighty force upon the earth. I cannot be ignored. My ministry has a voice. And my influence. I tell myself that all the time. Because these are the things God has said to me. Are you following me now?
Yes.
And some of these things God said to me, He said to me a very long time. A very long time ago. But I have to keep my attention on it so that I will not forget. I get the point. I will not forget. Don't plant your maize or your corn and then you forget you planted it. What is going to happen? You've wasted energy. You've wasted resources. Think of that in the natural sense. You've wasted resources. He says, a cactus grows on its own. Anything that grows on its own is weed. Is that not true in agriculture? If it grows on its own, it is what? Weed. Weed. And you don't eat weed. Huh? You weed it. You weed weed. You throw it away. Don't leave things to chance. Are you still here? So the key is to deliberately guard your heart by meditating on the word of God. Making sure that you don't the cares of this world, because these things are not bad. In fact, that one of the verses said, the desire and the lust for other things. Other things like life. Other things like marriage. Other things like career. Other things like business. Sometimes even family trouble. You're waking up in the morning, you're already getting a call from home. Say your grandfather swallowed spoon. You are still trying to comprehend how can a man swallow spoon. You get another call that the other one swallowed memory card and has been singing all the songs I saved in America. Just to get you so busy and you don't even know what to do again. You know life can be that busy. That if you don't deliberately check yourself and say, man, what am I doing? I have to get back to the world. You forget that there are promises. Stay on the word. That's why I'm going to encourage you before I proceed. Have a time that you read your Bible every day. Every day. Wherein we jago Bible. Time. That this is quiet time. Take your quiet time seriously. A time you read, and I can tell you, apart from reading the Bible and praying, include confession in your quiet time. Include meditation and confession in your quiet time. Include it. Daily. A time you give to the Lord where you're just confessing His word, rejoicing over His promises after you've prayed and you've read your Bible, you've meditated on what you read, and you speak for God's word. So that you don't ever lose sight of it. Remember what we read yesterday, and I'm going back to that scripture because it's going to come in handy now. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Oh, yes. Look at what it says. My son, attend to my words. So attend to my words is that first instruction I gave you to pay attention. Because these verses will show us how to deal with these challenges. Attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. That's what I'm talking about. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Don't let God's word depart from your eyes. He now said, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Because if it departs from your eyes, it will not get to your heart. Put God's word before you and be looking at it. I'm talking about intentionality. If you don't know what to do, print it and paste it around your room. I get the point. Put it on your bed. That when you wake up, that's the first thing you see. And don't just see it. Because the words you see will not change you. When you see it, say it. Are you following the point? I knew a man of God that talked about how he got his first car. He printed the car he wanted, the color, and pasted it in his car, in his house. Every day he wakes up, he sees it and says, oh, this, that car is mine. I'm getting this. He speaks the word. He did it for long, but one day he got the car. Keep, let it not depart from your eyes. Let the word of God not depart from your eyes. That's how to make sure that it's not stolen. And it's not choked. Are you following me now? Then keep them in the midst of thy heart. Then verse 22, he said, for thy life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Then verse 23, he said, for keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart, guard your heart, protect. That's where the word of God is protected. Don't let challenge, don't let worry get into it. Don't let distraction have its way there. Protect it. Are you still here this morning? Protect it. So that's how you protect the seed of the word of God. Hallelujah. So in my notes I said, a heart that is therefore full of unbelief and distractions is a bad soil for the word. That's what I'm just trying to show you. If your heart is full of unbelief and full of distractions, no focus, is a bad soil for the word. In other words, if you put the word there, it will not grow. Because first of all, it's full of unbelief. And then, come on. So a heart that does not believe in divine healing, if I put the word of healing there, it will not grow. Action. If I put the word there, it will not grow. Do you know why? Because the person will be distracted. I will not have time to nurture it. So let me show you. Look at James 1:21. Everybody, please look at this very well. James 1:21. Let's read together, everybody. Once it comes, do you have it? Open it on your Bible. If you can see it, you read. If you cannot see it, you open it. Are you there now? Let's go together. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. So there are things you have to lay apart for the word of God to work. He said, lay apart this and this, that you can receive with meekness the engrafted of which is able to save your soul. So if you don't lay off distraction and all of this, you will not be able to have results that come from the word. So do not let unbelief take over your heart. Do not let distractions take over your heart. Do not let the word become shallow in your heart. Plant it deep. And when you plant it deep, don't get distracted. Don't forget it. That's why I told you, I remind myself all the time. The same subjects I started reading on over 10 years ago now, I've been reading on those same subjects still too. Different materials, different books on the same subject till today. Till today. I get to the point. Till today. I've been reading on the new creation realities. I've been reading on grace. I've been reading on forgiveness of sins. I've been reading on faith. I've been on those subjects till today. Till today. When we call, He answers. Yes, I have. Yes. We are not alone.
God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
So, have you followed to this point? Cut that word in your heart. Protect it. Now, wait. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about protecting the word, you must realize something. And this is where we are driving to, where this thing becomes more interesting. Now, do you know why you've got to protect the word and then nurture the word? I'm going to talk about how to nurture the word. Why you have to learn this is because in the principle of agriculture that you know, you don't plant seed today and harvest it the next minute. There is a time between when you plant and when you harvest. So, you sow, you wait, and you reap. But that period of waiting is not idle waiting. It's actually nurturing. So the best thing to say is you sow, you nurture, then you reap. So the seed of the produce immediately. So there's a period of nurturing. Failure to do this, there will be no harvest. So many of us have sown the word of God, but we have not taken time to nurture it. To nurture it to the point where it begins to produce. And before I get to the next thing I'm going to say, I want to encourage you. Do not, because I want to talk about how to nurture the seed. Do not spend the time you would have used to nurture the seed. Do not use it to complain. There's a lot of people that just go over the place saying, look, I complain that things are not working. Things are not working. The Lord has spoken, things are not working. That time you are using to complain that things are not working, it's actually the time that you are supposed to use to nurture the seed to make things work. I get to the point now. You don't put your maize in the ground and after 2 days you're saying things are not working. All my mates are eating maize. Only me. I don't know why my own things are different. They say we must sow. I sowed maize. Why is my life different? You don't know. You know that it's early maize, that is late maize. Are you aware? You know, as that December, people are still eating corn. I don't know how they do that. So you don't know when the person planted his own. The person planted a few months ago has taken time. Just like cassava. Cassava is one interesting crop. You can be harvesting your own, another person is planting his own today. And you are complaining, everybody's eating garri, only me cannot eat garri. My own things are always different. Do not use the time you would have used to nurture your seed to complain. Because complaining will never make the seed grow. That's the truth. You're changing nothing. And sometimes you are complaining where there is no problem. There is just process. I'm telling you, sometimes there is no, like totally no problem. It's just that your seed you put on the earth is still being nurtured. They begin to complain. That's why you can never find me in that complaint zone. Never. And I tell you why. I know the principle of the word of God. You plant the seed, you wait for it, it matures, you eat it. So instead of complaining, be feeding your seed. I get to the point. Be nurturing it. Be watering it. I'm going to show you how, just very briefly. Nurture the seed. Nurture the seed. So that when you now see somebody eating their own maize or their own garri, You just smile because you know that's my destiny. Do you get the point now? But then you still get back to nurturing your own. Because that person's today is your tomorrow. So everybody must keep saying, and you look at how they do it in agriculture. Once they are done harvesting, they are planning for the next planting season. Because that process must continue. So at every time, there should be a harvest you're enjoying and another seed you're planting. So we must be sowing the word and nurturing it. I get to the point. So how do we nurture the word? Now, I'm going to read just three verses. It's actually one verse, but it's three. In three different places. Matthew 13, verse 23. I'm going to show you about the seed that fell on the good ground. What to see? Why did that seed do better than the rest? Why did it do better than the rest? Why didn't it die off? So Matthew says something about that. Mark says something different from what Matthew said, in a way. And Luke says something different from what both of them said. So what are we going to do? We're going to take what three of them said. Because they're not lying. Do you remember I explained that to you when I was starting? Yes. So look what Matthew said. Matthew said, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. So Matthew said, why that person was able to bear fruit was because he what? He understood it. So the first way you see how seeds are nurtured is understanding. I've explained that before. So the more light you have on any subject, the more fruit you can bear on that subject. So let me pause to say to you, go for light. If there's any area you want to see breakthrough in your life this year, go for light in that area. Get materials, eat that area. Matthew says the reason, look at that. He heard the word and understood. Give me like NLT. NLT. He said the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and understand God's word. Then they will produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100. Because he understood it. So Matthew points out understanding as a major way to nurture the seed. Are you following the point now? So the more light you have on any subject, the more results you will have. There are some people in this church that are doing better than others financially. And I can tell you why. Some of them, when I started doing Prosperity Summit, some of them, that Prosperity Summit is the program they've taken most seriously since they were born. And I observed it. And because that's what changed me. I told you guys, I studied provision in the Bible. You're struggling with addiction. Take your time. Study what Jesus did on the cross. Study how Jesus dealt with sin. If you stay there and eat it and you break into understanding, light comes in that area. You will have fruit there. You'll bear fruit. So you nurture the word by gaining more understanding. That's what I'm saying. Gaining more understanding. So if God has promised me something in relation to my health, at that time I am waiting for it, what should I be doing? I should be gaining more understanding, reading more materials, listening more to tapes. What I'm doing, I'm nurturing the word. Are you following me? Listening to more tapes on the same subject. So let me give an example. When you are passing through a lot and you are trusting God for deliverance, and God has promised you that he's going to lift you up, that's not when you listen to teachings like the mystery of pain, the purpose of suffering. What is the mystery of pain? Well, I don't know what they want to preach in the message, but I'm not even going to be tempted to look at it, because those things will come against those words. It will stop you from growing. I get to the point. That's the time you go for more light. You go for more light. You go for more understanding. You go for more light. You read one page. You check the next page. You get one message. You hear the next. What is happening? You are getting more light. Oh, the more light you have, the more fruit you can bear. The more light you have on any subject,
the more fruit you can bear. Ah, it's by light that we bear fruit. It's by light. It's by light. You hear some great men tell you things like, Fedekwa will say, so day, on an 18-hour long vision, da, da, da. He said, I read this verse and it dawned on me, I can never be broke. That is light. No one naira in the pocket. But I can never be broke. I can never be broke. You know, Pastor Chris said many years when he was in school. And I'm talking about sowing seeds. He just came to me now. He said when he was in school, he used to say all the time in his prayers, in his room, and to his friends, he said, no nation can close their doors to me. He said that time he has never seen international passports. He said, no nation of this world. He said, it came to him like a revelation. And he kept saying it. No nation of this world can close their doors to me. Now you can see. For real, no nation can close their doors, Pastor Chris. And the few that would like to close their door, by technology, he has entered all those nations. By a rapture of reality, currently is translated in every language of the world. Every language of the world. Every known language of the world. And millions are distributed every month. Because a man has been sowing seeds. No nation of this earth can shut their doors to me. Are you following what I'm talking about now? Now, it's by light. When that thing catches up with you, you keep going deeper in the light. So keep studying. So when you are waiting for your harvest, you should be nurturing the seed. Nurture it by understanding. Give me like a perfect classic of this word, of this verse. He said, as for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit. He comprehends it. So it is comprehension that guarantees bearing fruit. Is someone still here this morning? Comprehension. So how much have you understood the promise that God made you? God has made promises around healing. How much do you understand divine healing? This is your life where you are reading books like Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. You are eating those materials. You get to our site. You get what other teachings? Rafa. Healing in the name of Jesus. Healing life. You are eating. You are eating. What is happening? You are nurturing the seed that has been planted. You are pouring water on it. By more understanding, you are pouring water on the seed. So, when you have planted your seed, it's not the time to go and sit down with your house and say, if you like, make it grow. Like me, I know that God spoke to me. I've spoken it forth. I've planted the seed, and that's all. Start watering it by more light. So, Matthew notes that the reason this guy bore fruit was because he understood. Now let's see Mark. Mark 4 verse 20. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Kambarosh kandeskavendiash. Mark 4 verse 20. Are you there now? He said, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and what? Receive it. So, Matthew said he understood. Mark said he received it. Give me NLT so I see what Mark is saying. Mark said he received it. NLT said, the seed that fell on good soil presents those who hear and accept. To accept. I get the point. So, this man accepted, he embraced the word. So, the man that will nurture the fruit is the man that has said the word, has accepted it. We can use the word, he believed it. Right? He has embraced it. Give me Amplified Classic. He has accepted it. He said, those sown on the goodwill adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it. Message Bible is more interesting. He said, the seed planted in the good earth represent those who hear the word and what? Embrace it. So you must accept the word.
You must accept, okay, I've heard it, I agree, I believe. You must talk like it, act like it, sing like it. You know, when you've accepted something, that's the way you behave.
Now, what Mark is telling us is that when you hear the word and you are still at the level of doubt, it cannot bear fruit. Right? So, to nurture the word is that you must embrace that word. How do I know I've embraced the word? I'm talking like it is true. I'm acting like it is true. I'm behaving like it is true. I'm planning like it is true. I've accepted it. I'm planning like it is true. Are you following me? When the Lord spoke to us about this building, I took time to understand what God was saying. And when I understood it, I accepted that it was going to happen. How do you know I accepted it? I came and told you about it. Then we began to make plans around it. All those plans we are making is a sign that we've accepted that even though we've not seen one night, but we've accepted that what God said will happen. Have you accepted that what God said will happen? He has to show. I get to the point. We started making plans. We started looking for land. Some of you that God has said he's going to bring your business on site this year. You see, as you study more on how God can do those things, right? Accept it. Open your heart to it. Begin to plan around. Begin to plan. Act like it is true. Say, how do I do that? Start looking for shop. Start looking. Start doing things. Accept it. Accept it. Accept it. And of course, let's see Luke's account. Because that's where I'm actually going to. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Now look at what Luke said. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what did he say? Keep it. I like that. They heard the word. So Matthew said the guy understood the word. Mark said the guy accepted the word. Luke said the guy kept the word. Give me an NLT. Let's do it together if you have an NLT. Are you there? Are you? Can you see the screen? If you cannot see it, it's fine. Check, get it on your phone. Are you ready? Let's go together. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word and cling to it. That's to keep it. So, Luke said this person did not just hear and understand and accept. He stuck with it. He stayed with it. He clinged to it. He kept it. Oh, yes. And the Bible classic is interesting. Put it up quickly. It says, this one said, in the good soil, there are the people who hearing the word, hold it fast. Are you following me now? You cling to it. You hold it fast. You stay with it. That's how to nurture it. So you keep conversing. You keep making war with it. You keep praying it. You keep speaking it. You keep confessing it. What are you doing? You are clinging to it. So from what I've just showed you, if you hear the word and you do not understand it and you have not embraced it and you are not sticking and clinging with it, it will not produce anything. What it means, I am not nurturing it. So I'm going to challenge you. Stick with the word. Stay with the word. How does Pastor Chris put it? He said, if you stay with the word, you will come back with a testimony. It is forever true. It's not if you hear the word. If you stay with it. If you stay with the word, I tell you, you will come back with a testimony. But you have to stay with it. So this person held it fast. Do you have a message? Let's see what message said. Message said, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts. Who sees the word? And read with me. And what is it? And hold on no matter what. Say, that's me. They seize it and they hold on. Now, this is where many of us don't know how to nurture the word. Because don't know how to hold on with it. You hold on with it every day. You're talking it. Just talking it. While you're talking it, if your words are no longer making sense to you, you switch back to part one, which is understanding. You start reading it again. You start studying it. Oh, yes, it's getting clearer. You keep talking. There must be a fight to keep the word. There must be a fight because you are preserved, you are nurturing it. I can say the point. Because you know that the devil doesn't want it to produce. You are nurturing it. He said, these people, they seize the word
and they hold on no matter what. Are there people here that can hold on no matter what? Are you following me? I can hold on no matter what. And no matter what is happening, you keep saying what you are saying. That the Lord is bringing us into the best shape of our lives. How many of you believe that? Say, the Lord is bringing me. Oh, yes. Look at Passion. Passion Translation said, the seed that fell into good fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it there as they endure all things in faith. He said, this is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. You cling to it no matter what. One thing is certain, one day it will bear fruit. But if you don't stick with it, you will lose the fruit. So you nurture the word by sticking with it. Be like the farmer. When you put your seed in the ground, come and water it. When you water it, you pay attention, you find out that there is weed, you weed it. You now find out that birds and all these animals and stuff, rodents, are coming. Is it rodents that they call them? Those things that attack. We can use rodents, right? Or insects also attack. But they are coming against it. You put your scarecrows. You come the next day. You take the leaves of this tree, of this plant. It's somehow yellow. You can't get fertilized. I get what I'm talking about. Be that farmer who will stick with his crop until the harvest day comes. Don't be like the one that will put the seed in the ground and then you step out and say, I'm just going to travel and be back. You're coming back to nothing. You might come back and there will be no space because the weed has taken over everywhere. You heard Jesus' parable about why men slept. You don't plant your seed and you go and sleep. But after why men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. Every time you sleep off on what God has given you, you are just creating more work for yourself. Be that farmer that will visit the farm every morning. You know that's how to be a good farmer? I ever trained birds. We are rearing birds. You show up every morning. Show up every morning. Inspect your farm. Inspect the seed. Inspect how it is doing. Where there needs to be weeding, weed it. Are you following me? Where you need to bring in fertilizer. Every morning you come and check. I need to speak forth more. I need to, every day you are holding on. Bible said, message said, the passion said, they hold on no matter what. They have passion now. Get on the screen. Say, the seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it there as they endure all things. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit. So the seed you don't treat this way will not bear fruit in your life. So everything God has said to you, I'm telling you what to do with it. So even if you wake up one day and everything has scattered, and the plans you are making that look like, and I'm talking to someone, making a plan, it looks like you almost did everything scattered. He said you cling to it no matter what. Return back to the word God spoke to you. Check it again. Continue your warfare. Don't be like that brother that we saw in this parable, whose seed fell on stony ground. Daily challenges came. It fell off. Nurture your seed, though. Nurture it by more light. Nurture it by accepting it as faith. Nurture it by holding on to it no matter what. Holding on to it no matter what. Sticking with it, clinging to it. I love clinging. Sticking with it until there is harvest. Because there will surely be a harvest. But, you know, look at the point here. Whether you nurture your seed or not, harvest season will come. The point is, if you don't nurture your seed, you will not have nothing to harvest. You see, with every word God has spoken to us, harvest season is coming. Surely for us as a church. But what have you done with the seed that God has given you? What have you done with the seed? You are reading the Bible one day and it came strongly on you that God can help you gain spread the ministry. God has a revelation. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? A pastor can finish seeing that. You know, you can study your Bible as a pastor and you come across that verse that says that Lord added to them daily. You can stay with that and then you come church the next day, the 30 people that you have reduced to 13. What are you going to do? You go back, hold on to it no matter what. We're sticking with it until it produces. We are sticking with it. If you come next and announce 7, you call a meeting, you hold a meeting, you do your planning, you get back to prayer, you declare the word. You are sticking with it because one day it will bear fruit.
Nurture that seed. Are you following me now?
Nurture that seed.
You see what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. He said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that by them thou mightest war a good warfare." So you use the prophecies God has spoken to you to war. You don't drop them. And that's how you nurture it until it grows. Remember, that seed you have has potential. The word is a seed. It has potential to become a giant tree. It has potential to become a forest. I feel what I'm saying. It has potential to become anything. But it will not just become it until you deliberately begin to nurture and see that it grows. So how well you nurture will determine the harvest. Let's read that Matthew 13 verse 23 again. You know, let me show you this. Matthew 13 verse 23. How well you nurture will determine the harvest you get. He said, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth," he says, "some 100, 60 and 30. So it tells you, now this is very important, it tells you that there are fruits at different level. There is 100-fold. There is 60-fold. There is 30-fold. How well you nurture the seed will determine how much you're going to get from it. Now, this is not a spiritual term, as it were. It's a fact. It's an agricultural term. That we can plant the same seed and our maize fruit will be different. Is that true? We can plant the same yam and the size of our yam will be different. It's dependent on how well. Let me give an example. Some people, and this is very important, before the planting season comes, they've gone to their own farm, break up the fallow ground, and they add fertilizer. Do you know what I'm talking about? Before they even start cultivating. And fertilizer sits in the earth for some time. You can't compare that person with you that just came on the fallow ground and began to cultivate. That's why there are some of us, before we ever have a problem, we're already feeding on the word. Feeding on the word. Feeding on the word. I get it. When it's time to sow, our heart is already fertile ground. You can't compare it. You know, there are people that don't ever come to church or read their Bible or confess the word, anything, until there's a problem. So when there's that problem, they receive it and begin to say, "I saw it in my heart." It will work. But the result of the word cannot be the same with someone who has been preparing and tilling the ground all the while. I get to the point. And there are some that will give special attention to their seed. Or else will not. So there is 100-fold. There is 60-fold. There is 30-fold. Let me address one more thing before we close. Have you been blessed? Now, listen. When you now plant, you've nurtured, and harvest has come. Be ready for your harvest. Most High, the God of heaven,
Most High, ruler of the earth.
Yes.
Most High, King of nations.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To God, Most High.
Let me give
I'm nurturing it. And then the seed is ready for harvest. And you do not harvest it. What do you think is going to happen? It will get to a point, it will begin to decay. Are you aware?
Yes.
Many of us have been speaking the word, and our harvest season is very close, and many of it has come. The secret of getting your harvest is of harvesting is simply what we call, before I get to that, Mark chapter 4, let me show you. Go to verse 26 of Mark chapter 4. Tembele kumbre de shini andele kotaya. Most High, the God of heaven. Most High, the ruler
of the earth.
Oh yes.
Most High,
the
King of nations. Alleluia.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To God most high.
Now let me show you this. Mark 4 verse 26. Everybody please pay attention to this. He says, and he said, just because he give them another parable. He says, so is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast it into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle before the because the harvest is come. So I'll go to that verse 29, that's what I'm going to, but look at this. I want to talk about harvest briefly. Look at what he says in verse 26. He said, if you cast it in the ground, which is what we've talked about. He now said, and you sleep and rise night and day. So every day you're waking up. He said, the seed will spring forth. He said, he knoweth not. Give me another translation of 27. Like NLT. He said, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. That's the first thing I want to tell you about harvest. When you are sowing the word of God, stop cracking your head about how it will happen. Do you realize that in agriculture, culture, you don't even know how seed germinates? All you know is that you are just watching it and doing your own thing. Stop breaking your head. How is this thing I'm just saying? How will it begin to put it? Don't break your head. Sometimes it's when it has happened that you now sit down and begin to draw the line. Okay, do you know if I didn't meet this man on that day, I wouldn't have gotten to know this other brother. It was meeting this brother that made me know about that job. And it was, I get to the point. It's when it has happened, I begin to draw the line. You may not know. Bible said, you don't know how it will spring up. And hear me, don't break your head about how. Just follow the principle. Let me ask you a question. When you want to start your car, can you clearly explain to me what goes on in the engine when you turn on the ignition? Except a mechanical engineer that really learned something. I don't know why I'm looking at some people. If you turn on your phone, you know a lot of things happen when you turn on your phone. But all you know on the outside is that the phone came on. So do you really bother yourself with, I'm concerned, when you press this power button, what happens? What does it hit? Do you know that I'm a biochemist, for instance? Or I should be. Do you know that even if you are asked to draw the pathway of even breathing in and breathing out, you can fill two pages. It's a long process that happens in a short second. Sleep. Have you ever seen pathway? The sleep pathway. Yeah, that is very long ago. All you just know that you close your eyes and you sleep. But that is this. Will somebody's wondering what's my business? And sometimes I used to wonder in class, what is our business? Why are we getting to know? Well, let's leave it. Now, for real, if you are not a professional who treats people, what is your business for real?
All these are where you want to sleep. You close your eyes and you sleep. That's how it is in agriculture. That's how it is with God. Stop breaking your head. So how will this world work? Just obey the principle. Just be sowing the seed and be watching it. He said you will not know and you shouldn't know. It's not your business. So sir, how does this work? You may not actually know how it works. I can only try to explain from God's word that when you now speak, it will get to your heart. When it gets to your heart, angels will get to work. Angels will now get to work and talk to someone. Now, you might not know, but just be doing the thing. He said, look at that. He said, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. So that's me. How will speaking the word help me conquer addiction? I said, be speaking it. Are you following me now? How we pouring water on this soil make it grow? Just be pouring it. Do you know today we go to school to study agriculture? And some people that go further in agriculture, they explain to you what happens when you pour water. But you know there is a farmer in the village who doesn't have an idea of all those nonsense you are talking about, but he's having the same results you are having. He doesn't know the one called them endo and what are those things? What are those parts of seed? Huh? Say it if you believe in what you are saying. There is a farmer who doesn't care about all those things. He doesn't know what is photosynthesis. I get to the point. He doesn't know. Do you know the farmer may not explain to you why he puts that stick to the yam? You know what I'm doing? Sticking the yam. He doesn't know why. When you study agriculture, they begin to teach you about movements. Some of those trees are phototropic. They move towards light. You can explain that, but as a farmer, he doesn't know that, but he applies it and it works. Now, that's the point. He said, you might not be able to understand everything, but just obey God's word. Sow the word, nurture it, fight with it. You will wake up one day and your harvest will be ready. That's why there are many people who don't understand this as I'm teaching. They cannot explain it, but they're having massive results with God because they are just obeying this without even knowing what they're doing. You are El Elyon, God Most High. You are Jesus Christ. You are El Elyon,
Israel.
You are El Elyon. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Most High. You are Jesus Christ. You are El Elyon Israel.
You know, I know a pastor that has a church today. He's in his 60s. The church is over 100,000 people. But they have run that church for over 20 or 30 years. They didn't cross 1,000. The growth just is like they exploded. They asked him, he's not a Nigerian. He said he was just obeying the word, preaching the gospel, mobilizing men for evangelism, training men. Just make sure you're sowing the seed. You don't know how. What will bring the harvest might just be one message you preached. It will just go viral. It might even be, it might even be one influencer picking it up to criticize the message. Say, look at what a pastor said in church. Can you imagine a pastor said that if we sow the word, we'll be rich. These pastors, and from there, another person will share it. From there, another person say, whoa, I like that. But that is true now. Man, this guy has word. Let me even get other messages he has, and from there. One of the most popular pastors in the Southeast today, at least number one, the fastest rising now, is Pastor Jerry. Who knew that it was COVID? You know it was COVID. Early morning prayers that will bring that. I just said, be sowing the word. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? You might not be able to explain how, but harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. Just be sowing the word. Just be sowing the word. It's when you succeed that they begin to study you. And I say, how did it happen? Are you getting what I'm talking about? But you just be sowing the word. Fighting with the promises that God gave you. declaring it, fighting with it, fighting with it, fighting with it. So how will all this I'm doing now change my life? Just be doing it. I told you guys, I think it was Pastor Samademi that shared this story. He said those early days of ministry, they will get to Jehovah Edebo. Have I told the story? He said he will get there with the wife and say, sir, you're trusting God for growth. Nothing is working. He will tell them, the word. It's the word. I kept doing that. He said, he got to a time, he said he got pissed. He said, this man doesn't want to tell us how he's working. He should just tell us, what is it? The word. It's the word. Yes. He said, tell us what's happening. He said, just the word. When you eat it, it will produce. He said, one of those days, he went with the wife. He said, for some reason, Bishop didn't know they were waiting. So they stayed out. So know what the man knew. They could not have the same result that the man was having. Same story of Kenneth Copeland. Same story. Everybody. So just keep, so you don't stop, because the question is, when we see this, so people are wondering, how will it work? Does it even make logical sense? Does agriculture make logical sense? Even though that you're selling teaching in school now. If I just appeared and said, you see this thing I'm carrying, if I put it in the earth, give me 3 years, it will become a giant tree. You say you are mad. Except you've seen it happen before. It doesn't make sense. Oh, but thank God, it doesn't have to make sense. It just makes scriptures. That's the only, it doesn't make sense. It's just the truth of the word of God. So look at that. He says, let's go back to 27. He said, it springs forth and he knows not how. So if you're waiting for your harvest, stop wanting to know how it will happen. Just be sowing the word. Be nurturing the word. Be protecting the word. Be sowing the word. Be fighting with the word. Somebody, how will it happen? How will things change? Just be sowing the word. Leave it for God. Leave that part to him. Leave that part to him. So have an addition. How will all this, you tell me, read the Bible, pray, read it. How will I suddenly read the Bible and one day addition will just fall off? Just do your own. Are you following me, friends? Just be putting the word in there. Putting the word in there. Fight with the word. Verse 28. And look at this. 28 is very key. Mark 4, verse 28. It says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit. I said this for some time. Bringeth forth fruit of herself. Mark 4, 28. It bringeth forth fruit of herself. I stayed with that for some time. The earth brings forth fruit of herself. Of herself. In other words, once the right environment is there, the earth will produce by itself. Of herself. And I don't have to do much. Once you are putting in the fruit and there is the right atmosphere, the earth will produce fruits of itself. Let me read it to you with the NLT. Oh, hallelujah. Mark 4:28. Are you still here? Are we still here? It says, the earth produces the crops on its own. On its own, by itself. Your own business is just be putting it in. Make sure the heart environment is right. Make sure there's no unbelief. Make sure there is no doubt. Make sure there is no... There's all those things I told you that makes a bad soil and a bad heart. Make sure it's there. It's not there. It will produce by itself. By itself. Are you still here? Then it says in verse 28. Now, it gets more interesting. Get it on the screen. If you guys don't have, if there's no challenge. Are you 28? Let me wait for you to open it. Verse 28. Are you there now? Are we all there? I wait for you. I want to believe you have a Bible. Are we there now? Let's just get like a mass choir. That's not how a choir sings. A choir does not murmur. The choir shouts. So, are you in this choir? What's the name of this choir now? There is not the expression. No. This Igwebike choir. Are you here now? Let's go. Are you ready? Let's go. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn. What is it telling you?
Now that's the next principle of harvest I'm showing you there. The harvest of the word can be in stages. Are you following me? It can be in stages. That's why many people don't. I don't have enough time to explain this harvest. I'm just trying to scrape it, and maybe next time we'll come back to it. He said, first there is the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. Now it just is not. This, those are not Bible. Those are not spiritual terms. It's basic agricultural terms. When you plant corn, there is a process of its development. NLT said, first a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. Finally, the grain ripens. And this is so important that you understand this. That when it has to do with harvesting the word, it will come gradually. But you must learn to keep going and keep nurturing to be able to get the full harvest. Harvest can come gradually. Now, I get what I'm saying. Now, many of us, now look at this very, very serious. Many of us don't ever get the full harvest God intended for us. Because we've not learned this principle. You just, God promises you something. And then you see a small sign. You say, hey, God has done it. Finally. It's good you testify. But don't stop nurturing. It might just be the blade that showed forth. Many of us have not really got to the fullness of what God is giving us. Because we keep up very quickly. And we think that's it. What God has for you is bigger than what you think. Keep nurturing. So let me use agriculture. Some of you that understand maize planting. When you come, you plant the maize, you pour water to a point, you water it to a point, and then it springs forth. You are grateful. Say, oh, thank God, that sprung. Do you start eating it at that point? Yeah? Then it begins to grow. It grows to a point. Then some of the maize, the fruits begin to come out. There's even a time the fruit is there, but it's not yet fully developed. You can't, if you bring it, you're about to have an empty cup. So what do? When you come out and there is now sign, you keep nurturing. You keep nurturing. You know what the Lord said to me one day? I think I put that on Facebook or on WhatsApp. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, many of us, we are like Elijah. Elijah prayed and told the man, go and check. He said, I see a man's hand. He said, rain is coming. So the Lord said to me that day, the appearance of a man's hand doesn't mean that the rain has come. It means the rain is coming. He said, there are things that come along your way in your journey that are just signs of what God is about to do. So it's not yet there. Many of you, some of the breakthroughs you are seeing now is nothing. Now, listen to me very carefully. This is why many of you have a cycle of great moments and low moments. Because once the thing begins, the blade begins to show up a little. We say, oh, thank God. You now start bawling. You stop nurturing. You stop fighting with it. The harvest is still coming. It's just budding. Now it's just a show, small. I guess what I'm talking about. It's just the blade. You know, Amplified Classic of this verse. Amplified Classic. The earth produces, acting by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Give me a message. Thank you, Lord. He said, first, green stem of grass, then a board, then the ripened grain. Look how he started. He said, the earth does it all without any help. It just happens. Once the soil is good, it will develop. But it's a gradual thing. That's why if you're trusting for something, once you begin to see small, small breakthroughs, oh, celebrate it. It means the harvest has started. No, the harvest has not come, but at least the fruit is, the seed is producing small, small. What do? When that happens, you keep nurturing. You now come back, you now weed everywhere. There's even a level it gets to. You now put your scarecrow to scare up. You are still fighting. You don't say, oh, it has come. It has not come. Oh. That's why with everything we are seeing as a local church, how God has blessed all of that, I still tell people, these are still the days of little beginning. Because these are just signs of what God is saying to us. We can't call this the harvest. So we must keep nurturing. Are you following me? We must keep nurturing. We must keep putting seed in the ground until the harvest. So keep going. Keep going for the harvest. Keep going for the harvest. Don't stop. I get to the point. Don't stop at just the blade. Because you're not doing anything with that. Don't stop at just the blade.
Don't stop at just the ear. Let the full corn develop. Now, let me use another way. Let me explain it another way. When a woman is pregnant, if you go for scan, you see all those things. At the time, they say, "Can you see the hand?" I don't see anything, but they'll tell you, "That's the hand." It's moving. I've never been able to see, but I just nod my head and say, "They say that's the baby's heartbeat." I say, "But no, my wife used to see. Maybe because she's a nurse. I don't see anything." Every time I walk out of that room, I say, "Did you see anything?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." That's the one they went, they said, "Look at your baby's head." I say, "Where?" I say, "Where is the head?" "Well, it's okay." The men in this place I've ever seen, that's the head. They say, "Okay." They say, "That's the hand." See the fingers. I say, "Where have you seen all these things?" But what it tells is that there's actually something taking place. If that baby comes out at 3 months, that's miscarriage. If it comes out at 7 months, that's premature birth. It must develop to its full capacity. So because your stomach is now showing, doesn't mean you have a baby yet. But at least it's a sign that a baby is coming. So as you begin to pray all these breakfast prayers, you talk about finances, you begin to see small things in your business. Oh, I tell you, it's a sign that here it's going to be very big and good. But it's not, it doesn't call for you to stop. Stop nurturing. You keep nurturing. The harvest is come, but it has not yet come. Don't mistake the blade for the harvest. Are you following me this morning at all? Don't mistake the blade for the harvest. Some of you are trusting God for healing. Doctor, I've given you a bad report, and you finish declaring the word one day. You got up, and all the pain you are feeling on your leg disappeared. You say, "Oh, I'm fine." You stop declaring. That pain has disappeared. Is a sign that something has started. Are you following the point? Just keep nurturing. Keep fighting with it. That's the same thing with addiction. That's why many people don't break from addiction, because they keep fighting with addiction. Say, I'm breaking forward. And then they find out that 3 days or 4 days, they've not smoked. You say, "God has done it. Glory to God." They move on. That's just the blade. Keep nurturing. That is the fullness of it. When it gets to its fullness, you will see the secret. You will detest it. You will detest it. The word always bears fruit. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. It will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. He says, "I have an issue with sexual addiction. I just find myself going and going and going. I've been speaking the word. You know, sometimes for 1 week, I stay off. Then the next week, I'm back." It's because the 1 week when you stay off, you celebrate and you feel like, "Oh, I've won." You've not won, but you are winning. So what should you have done within that time? Come back to your farm. Weed. Put more fertilizer. Strengthen it. You go back to the word. You read again. You pray again. You go back to the word. You declare. You are still nurturing it. Then from the blade, then there is a board. You say, "Oh, yes, we are getting there. It's getting better now." Then one day, the grain will ripen. And you put in your sickle, then you harvest. And the job is done. Are you following the point? So don't give up on God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on prophecy. Don't give up on the word. Don't give up on those prophecies that the word of God has made to you. Don't give up on them. We are praying for your studies. God has promised you about your studies. You've been reading your book. You've been confessing. Then you write quiz. Normally, you used to have 6 over 10 or 4 over 10 in the quiz. But now this next quiz is 7 over 10. You say, "Hey, Jesus. Even if it is this one, make I use one whole body." Don't use anything whole body. Go for the full harvest. I get the point now. Go for the full harvest. You've prayed concerning your marriage and God has promised you that he's going to send a lady or a man along across your way. And then the next day, you just start doing talking stage with someone. "Hello, baby. Say, I love you." He said, he wakes me up every morning. Your harvest has not come. Still keep declaring the word. But some people say, ah, God has done it. This is him that is to come. It's everything I prayed for and more. Every time you are in love, the person is everything you prayed for and more. Have you observed? No lady has a speck. It depends on who she's crushing on at the moment. So today, my speck, I need tall. I don't really care about the height because the person he likes now is short. Or she likes that short. I don't really care about your height. Once you have a, you see, heart, the heart. So I'm encouraging the brothers here. No lady has a speck. Eh? Just have something to offer, you become the speck. If you think well, you know it is true. Let me prove to you that it is true. Should I? Check the five, the past 5 or 10 people you've crushed on. They are not the same thing. They differ in different ways. So you don't have a speck. One was fair, the other one is now dark. When he was fair, he said, I just like fair people. Ah, I put him for a chapel. Then after some time, the next person is dark. You now say, you know, black is beautiful. I don't know what let me do this I'm saying now. But I'm saying, where are we someone? Don't say, that's my spirit, that's my spirit. If you are praying, keep praying. You keep declaring, you keep fighting with those words. Then the person says, now I want to go and meet pastor, I want to start praying. Oh, glory to God. You keep praying. It now becomes a relationship. You keep praying until you get married. I tell you, that's the full harvest. Because people even lose their marriage, their relationships a day before wedding. Now I'm telling you for real. You say, God failed me. No, you stopped. So you enjoyed some things, but not the full harvest. So I've learned to do this, and I'm telling you. That's why there are many of us, and this is a correction call for many of us. Many of us that we are praying and believing for this supernatural help, declaring the word. Many of us have turned down our prayer because you are now here. That's terribly wrong, because this is not what God promised us. Some of us that were even giving. He said, I'll show you now. Let's stop giving. This is not what God promised us. That's wrong. That's wrong. I get the point. When we moved into this place, the ministers asked me, do we stop this prayer? Because ministers pray, any good ministers at least, they pray every day for this building. Every day. So they told me, do we now stop? I said, do you know how God promised you? Don't try that. But that's how you lose your harvest. And it just stays there. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? Because it's not yet there. It's not yet ready. This is not what God told us. Now we're grateful to God for this, because this is actually a great miracle that we are sitting in. Less than 3 months. I know what I'm talking about. It's a great miracle. But then, this is not the promise yet. So, is it to start complaining? No, you keep nurturing it. Keep watering that seed until it produces. So some have even stopped giving. Some have stopped believing. Some have stopped speaking about it. And that shows how you treat this your own personal life. When things just show up, small breakthrough. You say, God has done it finally. Then you shut your mouth. No. While you testify, keep nurturing. Because it might just be the blade, but the harvest is coming. When he shows, you will know. When he shows, you will know. We are talking about breaking forth. And then you used to have a job of 100,000. Now you have a job of 150,000. It shows something is happening. But you've not broken forth, sir. At least financially. If not. We are talking about breaking forth even in ministry, soul winning, and the rest of them. Last year, you couldn't win any soul. Now you've won like two. He said, it has happened. Mm-mm. Keep going in prayer. Keep fighting. Keep going. Because what God wants you to do is that by the end of this year, you will have added 100 men, 200 men. Go for the breaking forth. Don't stop at the blade. Don't stop at the ear. Go for the full corn in the ear. Go for the full corn. Then finally, is it finally now? Next verse, verse 29. He says, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle. Now, this way, it is so people, when they have a family, they don't have to put in their sickle. And so, I'll give an example. You must not have to put in your sickle and get your harvest. Sometimes that the putting in the sickle will mean maybe acting on the word of God that he has given you. Somebody's praying for a job, praying for a job, praying for a job. You must know how to apply for the job you're praying for. Sometimes he might need to do some corresponding action. He's telling you, it's time. Take the harvest now. Are you following me? Are you following what I'm saying? Can you do some corresponding action? You are on the wheelchair. And you've been praying. Lord, when I'm going to walk, when I'm going to walk. Now, when you keep doing that, once you sense that's leading your heart, get up from that wheelchair and begin to try to walk. Begin to walk. If you stay there for long, the harvest will come, your healing will come, but you will not take it. Are you following me now? Put in the circle and get your harvest. But this part of the teaching, I'll bring it later. Maybe not in this meeting. Are you following me? But for now, go nurture the seed that God has given you. When you see the blade, keep nurturing. When the ear shows forth, keep nurturing. Why are you blessed in this service at all? When the ear shows forth, keep nurturing. Then the full come. Aha. We moved another matter. Stay on the word until it has results. So everything that God has spoken to you will happen. Because that's his plan. Remember we saw that scripture yesterday. When he sends forth his word, the word does not return to him void until it accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. So stay with it until it produces that result.
You are faithful and you bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord. For his mercy and yours forever. Bless the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Bless the Lord.
He is faithful.
He is faithful and he is kind.
One more time.
Bless the Lord.
I will not miss my harvest. So I will stay with the word until my harvest comes.
Woo.
So I will stay with the word. I am blessed, the Lord. I'm blessed,
the Lord.
He is faithful.
And he is kind.
Yahweh, Yahweh, I've come to commune with my Father. I'll pray, I'll pray.
Oh, Yahweh, Yahweh,
I'll pray, I'll pray. I'll pray, I'll pray. I'll pray, I'll pray. Until I see thy will be done.
Oh Yahweh, Yahweh.
I'll pray, I'll pray.
I'll pray.
Yes.
Until I see your will be done. Oh Yahweh.
Are you following me this evening at all? This afternoon, you have to learn to stay and pray and intend, content. Speak the word. Don't give up on it. I'll pray. Until I see
thy will be done. Oh Yahweh.
Sing it again.
I'll pray. Until I see thy will be done. Oh Yahweh.
I'll pray. Until I see thy will be done.
I'll pray. Until I see thy will be done. Oh Yahweh.
Never failed me yet.
Jesus Christ, never failed me yet.
Come on.
There is one thing I know. Wherever I go, Jesus Christ never fails me yet.
God's word cannot fail, and your life will not be a proof that it can. Tell me, I will stay with the word. So I will protect the word. I will nurture it until I see the results. Say the word of God is working in me mightily. I wish you can shout and say the word of God is working mightily in me. Say the word of God is working mightily in me. Say that to three persons. Tell them the word of God is working mightily in me. Preach to three persons. It's working mightily in me. Don't miss the word mightily. It's working mightily in my finances. It's working mightily in my spiritual life. It's working mightily in my health. It's working mightily. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's changing everything in obedience to Christ.
Changing everything, yeah. In obedience to Christ.
He's changing everything. Come on, sing it like you know it.
In obedience to Christ.
He's changing.
We are
organizing everything.
like you know it.
Say he's changing everything.
He's changing
around your finance, around your health.
In obedience to Christ.
He's organizing everything.
He's organizing everything.
Yeah.
In obedience to Christ.
He's organizing everything.
He's organizing everything.
Yeah.
In obedience to Christ.
He's readjusting everything.
He's readjusting everything.
Say he's changing everything.
He's changing everything.
Aye.
In obedience to Christ.
How much of this happening in your life this year? He's changing everything. Say, God's word is working mightily in me. Say it again. Learn to say this throughout this year and all your life. Just when you sit in your house, just shout, God's word is working mightily in me. Oh, I don't know what is happening on the outside, but I know that God's word is working mightily in me. It's working mightily in me. The word of God is working in me mightily. I said the word of God is working in me mightily. He's working in me mightily. He's working mightily in me. He's changing everything. He's rearranging everything. He's readjusting everything. He's resetting everything. He's realigning everything. He's breaking me to my big place. He's causing me to spread. He's causing me to break forth. He's causing me to get into my place of spreading. Ay-ay-ay-ay. He's bringing me to my prepared place. My prepared place. My prepared place. That which God has prepared for me, God is bringing me there. By the word of God, I'm getting into my prepared place. Aye, 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 aye. Pray like that if you want to pray. Come on. Abarado shuna da barataya. Woo!
He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Living God. He's the Holy Ghost, the scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the age to come.
Aya.
He's changing everything in obedience to Christ.
Aya.
He's changing everything, everything in your life in obedience to Christ. In obedience to Christ. Hey. In obedience to Christ. Say in obedience to Christ.
In obedience to Christ. In obedience to Christ.
In obedience to Christ.
In obedience to Christ.
In obedience to Christ.
In obedience to Christ. In obedience to Christ. In obedience to Christ.
Say he's changed.
He's changing everything about your ministry.
He's
come on. Everything about your career. Everything about your spiritual life. He's breaking that addiction off. Come on.
He's changing everything.
Breaking that addiction off. He's cutting off that challenge. He's bringing that spread to your ministry. Spread to your finances.
He's
changing everything in relation to your job. He's realigning it to your family.
Of the
sow the seed. Don't bother about how it's going to spring forth. Just sow the seed. Just nurture the seed. Just protect the seed. Just contend with it. Don't bother about how it will produce. Your job is to sow. Your job is to nurture. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. Hey, yeah. Your job is to sow. Your job is to nurture. Your job is to watch it. And you sleep and you wake up. Don't bother about how it will produce. Hey, Abarando, should they be kedebe kolania? Woo! I don't care what the doctor has said. Just sow the word. That's all you have to do. Just sow the word. Just sow the word. Just sow the word. Nurture it. Don't bother about how it will happen. How can a womb that doesn't exist carry a baby? Don't bother about that. Don't bother. How can kidney that has damaged come alive again? Don't bother about that. Just sow the word and nurture the word. It shall break forth. It shall spring forth. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. How can jobs come where the industry says there is no job? Just sow the word. How can things start working again when they say the portal is closed? Just sow the word and nurture the word. That's your job. That's your job. How can it happen when you know nobody? Just sow the word and water it. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. 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 Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Just pray for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. And leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Yeah. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. Sing with me. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Sing like that.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Sing it, come on, sing it.
For the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just sow the seed.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just pray in tongues.
For the Holy Ghost.
And leave the rest
for the Holy Ghost.
Just pray the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just sow your seed.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just speak the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
And leave the rest
for the Holy Ghost.
Fire.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Just speak in tongues.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just speak the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just sow the seed.
For the Holy Ghost.
And leave the rest
for the Holy Ghost.
Fire.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost,
and
leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Aya.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost, and leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Just confess the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just talk in tongues.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just stay in prayer.
For the Holy Ghost.
Aya.
And leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
For the Holy Ghost.
for the Holy Ghost.
Aya.
For the Holy Ghost. Lift the hands for the Holy Ghost.
Just pray in tongues.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just speak the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just talk in tongues.
For the Holy Ghost.
And lift the hands for the Holy Ghost. Just speak the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
For
the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost.
And lift the hands for the Holy Ghost. Two more times.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. And lift the hands for the Holy Ghost.
Do it one more time.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost.
And lift the hands for the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy
Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost.
And
lift the hands for the Holy Ghost.
Just pray the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
Just ask the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
And just do the word.
For the Holy Ghost.
And lift the hands for the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost. And lift the hands for the Holy Ghost.
Don't bother about how to spring forth. Just do the word. Just sow your seed. Leave the rest. The Bible said in Galatians 6, verse 9, it said, let us not be weary in well doing. He said, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So the condition for reaping is if you don't faint, if you don't stop nurturing, if you don't stop, are you getting what I'm talking about? Then you will reap. Ay. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. Sing like that.
He's the Holy Ghost.
Do it like that.
He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
He's the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
How will your situation change?
He's the Holy Ghost.
How will this one around?
He's the Holy Ghost.
How will you give back?
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
How will you breakfast this year?
He's the Holy Ghost.
How will you get that job?
He's the Holy Ghost.
How will your situation change?
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
You will just pray in tongues.
He's the Holy Ghost.
And speak the word.
He's the Holy Ghost.
And dance in tongues.
He's the Holy Ghost. And I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
How will your job come?
He's the Holy Ghost.
How will you change this year?
He's the Holy Ghost.
How will that addition break up?
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Say, He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
Ay.
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
He's 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 the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
The Spirit of the age to come.
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
He's the changer of man.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the respecter of Barada.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He's the lifter of man.
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
He will change your story.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He will change your life.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He will give you the life you want.
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
He will change your ministry.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He will change your career.
He's the Holy Ghost.
He will set on the path of God's work.
I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
Do it one more time.
He's the Holy Ghost.
Shout it one more time.
He's the Holy Ghost.
Scream it one more time.
He's the Holy Ghost. I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost.
Just leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. Your job in this season, sow the word. Don't bother about what happens under the earth. Leave it for the Holy Ghost. It will bear fruit. Kabaranda Shada. It's your season. It's your season. I say it's your season. I say it's my season. I say it's my season. I say it's my season. It's my season. Remember, don't bother about what goes on under the earth. Just do your own. Don't bother about it. Just sow the seed. Nurture the seed. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost.
have some just came forth for this meeting. When you return back, anytime in the year that things are not working, just remember that he's the Holy Ghost. So what I said, they ask, what I now going to do? He said, well, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to confess the word. I'm just going to memorize, meditate on the word. And then what next? I'll leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. You know that how to do ministry. How do you do ministry? We gather, we pray, we plan, we evangelize, we reach out to men. And what do we do next? We leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. That's what we call divine partnership in ministry. You do your part, let the Holy Ghost do his part. Divine partnership. Your life is changing. And it's getting better. What again is happening to you this year? I'm breaking forth by the Spirit. I'll ask you, what is happening to you this year? Hallelujah. By the Spirit and power, I'm breaking forth. By the Spirit and by power. That's my reality. And I will not faint. I will stay on the word. I will nurture the word until I see the result. Are you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.